Welcome to the Rock Family Sermon of the Week. For more information about our church, please visit therockfamily.tv. Now join us for a message from Pastor Rusty Nelson.
How many have your Bibles this morning? Come on. I can do this in 30 minutes. If you're a guest today, there's a reason why people are laughing right now. No, if you're a guest, we're so honored you're here. Say this with me. I am what His Word says I am. I can do what His Word says I can do. I can be what His Word says I can be. So right now, I will hear His Word, I'll receive His Word, and I'll obey His Word because I love His Word. I'm believing for a miracle. The preacher needs it right now. I need the miracle for him to hush quickly on this. I want you to take your Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Lisa, thank you and the team, my family. That was, that's not about a person. That's about a moment. And I believe that moment affects this moment. And I truly believe that in this city. And when God sends you to a place, He sends you with purpose. And He sends you with everything you'll ever need for the journey. And if I can walk through the gates of heaven one day with my family, my children, and my grandchildren by my side, I'm the most successful man in all the world right there. That is the priority. And to have my son Alex, he was drumming today. He and Mariah are home from Huntington Beach, California, where they work in the ministry. They are missionaries there with Circuit Riders, and which is a ministry, an arm under Youth with a Mission, YWAM. And I'm so glad they're home. They're not going to be able to be with us Christmas. So we picked them up in Nashville last night. And I'm glad my whole family is together. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And I heard many of you thinking, you have got to be kidding me. Listen at it again. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You know, for God to give us that word, He must know something we hadn't figured out yet. He knows He's got all of this under control. And the moment we know what God knows is the moment the things we think we know will have to bow at the sovereignty of the God who has everything under control. That's good stuff. The first two of these, rejoice always, pray continually. That has to do with time. Always, continually. In other words, how you spend it in your life. How you spend your always. It requires time. Rejoice always. Pray continually. It's associated. The most precious commodity, the most in gifted commodity God has given us is our time. But the third one that I want to hang my hat on for just a minute is give thanks in all circumstances. That is not about time. That is about attitude. Look at your neighbor and say, you need an attitude adjustment these next few minutes. I've been sitting at you. I saw you steaming earlier, and you need an attitude adjustment. Joy is a choice. Joy is also a person. Joy, the joy of the Lord, is our strength. Joy is an inward security that you know because you know He's got everything under control. So when joy comes into time, calmness comes over me. Assuredness, confidence. When prayer steps into time, prayer, it means to never stop praying.
How do you do that? It's not prayer without interruption, because that just doesn't happen. Have you ever noticed when you set a time to pray in the morning, everything will start affecting, trying to rob the time you've set aside? But see, prayer becomes timeless. Even though it has to do with time, prayer goes timeless. Because the relationship we have with him had nothing to do with us punching the card and the time slot. It had everything to do with the breath that we breathe. Prayer. Prayer is that constant contact. Actually, the adverb in the Greek for continually was used in the Greek, watch this, for a hacking cough. How many know a hacking cough? You can go for minutes. Minutes, and never had that cough, and then all of a sudden. Do you know that's what prayer is viewed with? Because God says, I want to walk you in such a life with me that every few minutes you may be distracted doing your own thing, but then all of a sudden, I remind you, I'm with you. I've never left you. There is a walk. There is a talk. I want you to see what I see. I want you to hear what I hear. I want to impact the senses of your life, because in that kind of prayer, then thanksgiving in all circumstances takes on a whole different meaning, and it affects your attitude. Give thanks to God in every circumstances, knowing the fact God works everything together for good for those who love him. Thankfulness drowns out accusations, complaining. It changes the atmosphere of the most severe trials. Paul and Silas, after being beaten, thrown in jail at midnight, Paul feels a praise coming on. And I can just hear Silas, I can't believe you got me here. And now you want me to open, I'm hurting. I am in this urine rat infested inner prison. And you want a praise? Because see, the moment praise and thanksgiving, because every seven words for Hebrew for praise all tie in to thankfulness, giving thanks. Thanks requires giving. So at midnight, they had a jailhouse rock. When we think of Thanksgiving, most of us familiar with the traditional story, we kind of translate it to William Bradford of the Plymouth Rock when they proclaimed a day of Thanksgiving to celebrate the survival of pilgrims in their second year in the New World. It was an abundant harvest that they reaped, and they were able to share it with Indians that they had befriended. But Thanksgiving didn't occur in 1621 with that particular group of pilgrims. The first recorded Thanksgiving actually took place in Virginia more than 11 years earlier, and it wasn't a feast. The winter of 1610 at Jamestown had reduced a group of settlers, of 409 settlers, to 60 people. They had been praying for supplies to come. They had no idea where it was coming from. Finally, it came in a ship. And they got on their knees, and they gave thanks. You would have thought all of the praise had been lost in their life when they lost all of their family members during those critical days of establishing a new place. But they were thankful. We ourselves often don't realize how blessed we really are, how thankful we ought to be, until we have been threatened with everything to be taken away. It's good as believers We ought to celebrate Thanksgiving, for God has certainly been good to every single one of us. If you woke up in the morning and took a breath in your lungs, you are blessed to be here today. One man said, gratitude is the source of all Christian virtues. Thanksgiving, gratitude is what engages our five senses, our to see, hear, taste, touch, smell. One article I read, the human senses are our contact to the environment. The human brain combines the fireworks of neurons of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, and touching into a meaningful whole. But we don't think about our senses until an organ stops working. Humans have five senses: eyes to see, tongue to taste, nose to smell, ears to hear, skin to touch. But by far the most important organ is the sense of eyes. We perceive up to 80% of all impressions by means of our sight. Listen to this. And if other senses such as taste or smell stop working, it's the eyes that best protect us from danger. How many know you just got to see things? I have a phrase I've used for years and years, and they used to make fun of me on the staff. You got to see it before you see it, or you never see it. There's perception. Perception is everything. But you got to see things through. It's based on your attitude. I'm grateful for getting older, I'm having to remind myself of that. I just had my 10-year passport get up. And I had to go renew my passport just about 2 months ago. And man, when I walked in and they took the picture that I was going to send to Atlanta, they took the picture and man handed me this new shot of myself 10 years later. And I'm just like, can I keep that one? I couldn't even hardly see my eyes. They were white. I'm like, I like the original one a lot better. And then I had this thought, 10 years from now, I'll like this one a lot better than that one. I'm having to celebrate getting older, being healthier in my heaviness. They say that inside each heavy person is a thin person struggling to get out. And what I have discovered in my life, that mine can be quieted with three pieces of my mother's strawberry cake. I can quiet that thin self in a heartbeat. And also, I want you to know I'm thankful today that I can still wear the same size socks and the same watch size I had when I was in high school. Can anybody feel me on that? I love in Ephesians, though, 1, when it's referring to this sense of sight, the spiritual sense. Ephesians 1, verse 15, it says, for this I too, having heard of the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you, while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowledge of him. And I pray, watch, that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. It's one of the most interesting statements Paul would ever give when he said, the eyes of your heart. And what it denotes are things, it's to see things clearly. That there's a need. It's not merely an intellectual clearness, but a moral sensitivity and embrace. It is a movement of the heart as well as the head. And he's saying, man, I want your heart, the eyes of your heart, to be enlightened. Here's what Jesus said. Your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is bad, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if that light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. I love the Message paraphrase, and it says this, that your eyes are the windows into your body. If you open your eyes wide in wonder and belief, your body fills with the light. If you live squinted-eyed in greed and distrust, your body is a dank cellar. If you pull the blinds on your windows, what a dark life you're going to have. The spiritual eyes that gives us the right perception. In Hebrews 5, it says, but solid food belongs to those who are full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. How many realize everything is not as it seems? Let me try this side over here. How many would agree with me? Everything that's going on in media, in social platforms, in political environments, in all the personal agendas, everything you hear and see is not as it seems. Holy Spirit, though, wants to give us the discernment to see through the times, to get to the heart of the issue, to know what the heart of the matter is. We must have discernment to see through all the divides and see what truly God desires. God's people should always want God's way. In the New Testament, the word senses is the faculty of the mind for perceiving, understanding, judging. Vines, the commentary says, it is the capacities for spiritual comprehension and it can be detected automatically. That's pretty good to be set on automatic. But there is a discernment. There is something, and it comes and is birthed out of a heart of thanksgiving that starts to train the senses. It is one that is, our time is affected. It is all about what it means to follow him, what it means for us to come and present ourselves in prayer and walking this journey of our time, but yet also understanding the attitude adjustment that takes place when our praise becomes our life. Perception is everything. How we perceive things is how we will receive things. What Paul is saying in this passage, and I'm gonna give this to you quickly. Greg, if you would go ahead and come and help me, at least I can hear something saying behind me, thou shalt quit. I pray that your eyes of your heart be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of your calling. Do you know what he wants you? He wants you to encounter hope, see hope today. You may be in a hopeless situation. There are really no hopeless situations. As Claire Luce says, there are only people who have grown hopeless about them. Can I say that again? I love how she said this. There are no hopeless situations. There are only people who have grown hopeless about them. Ephesians 4:4 says, there's one body, one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. Your calling is his calling. He called you. He chose you. Come on, man, you weren't even looking for God. And he showed up and placed his hand and drew you to himself. You've been given a holy calling. He actually called you by name. He didn't call you by someone else because no one is like you. He called you by name. He chose you when you didn't even know you were in the game. Red Rover, send Rusty right over. I didn't even know, you know, I just looked up ahead when I was a kid, man, and I know playing Red Rover would get me, I'd either break through it and take someone back with me or I'd get caught. But man, the moment my name was called, it was to get busy and do something. He chose me. He elected me. And you weren't even running for anything. But you got to choose to be chosen. You have to elect to be elected. That's what he waits on, is our yes in response to his call, his choosing, his election. That didn't cost you anything. It says, see that Christ in us is the hope of glory. I have a bunch of scriptures. You can go read those on the notes today. But see hope, see the riches of his glory. That what the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, true riches. He is the glory of the Father. He is the riches. He is this treasure. It's the glory of our story that he comes and finds himself in the middle of our mess. And we realize that in that hopeless situation, hope has arrived. You say, well, how do I get it? How do I embrace it? Hold on. We're co-heirs with Jesus. Nothing can compare to the eternal security that the riches of his weighty recognition of who he is, all that he is and all that he's called you to be. He not only calls you, he qualifies you. He not only qualifies you, he equips you. He not only equips you, he empowers you to live this. Not only do we have an inheritance in him, we are his inheritance. You don't have to pretend. It's not like the old boy couldn't find a job, man. He was looking everywhere and he finally went to the zoo. He gets a job. The guy said, listen, we don't have any work, but the gorilla just died last week. And that was the most attractive thing we had in this whole zoo. And we got a suit that looks pretty much like him. And if you'll just dress up like this gorilla and just go hang out in his cage, I'll hire you to do that. So the first 4 days, he's just sitting there in the cage. And man, for one day, he's just like, man, this is so boring. So he started doing tricks. Within 3 weeks, man, the whole city was coming to watch the gorilla do the tricks. He's swinging from limb to limb. He's doing cartwheels. He's waving at the kids. He's taking selfies with the children. He's doing everything. And then one day he swings over and he drops over into the lion cage. And he's like, I got to make a decision here. Because if I don't cry for help, that lion is going to eat me. But if I cry for help, I've ruined my job. I've lost my job. And finally, the closer the lion got to him, he finally went, help, help, somebody help me. And finally, the lion gets up next to him and said, would you shut up or both of us will lose our job. Shh, hush. But you don't have to pretend. I don't know why I told you that. Some of you just need a little laughter. My final point is this. Here at Thanksgiving, see the greatness of his power toward those that believe. It's a surpassing greatness. It excels, exceeds, transcends. It's the magnitude, the greatness of God. It's the knowledge of a power that works in us, a great power, a divine power, a power surpassingly great. His greatness shows his goodness. God is great. God is good. You can thank him. You can step in and say, God, I see your greatness and I see my need. Milanos, one of the great, in the 1600s, he was a great theologian that had this walk with God that he actually, the Catholic Church finally declared him a heretic because he pointed so much to Jesus and the cross. And he said, you know, there are two things we must have: a knowledge of the greatness of God and the intensity of the fall in the garden that affected me and the world. Because we will never appreciate grace until we see how great he is and how desperate we really are. how much I need you. And that's when grace empowers us to receive what we could not receive in ourselves. He knows where you are. He sees you. He sees you. He's the God who spoke the worlds into order. He called every star by name. And he sees you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. The new telescope is looking into. It's hard to comprehend the depth of the universe, because when God said, let there be, it is still becoming. He's a creative God. And he did it all for us to enjoy the beauty. But he knows you.
We hope and pray this message was encouraging and impactful. Join us live on our website or Facebook on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. You can stay connected with us on Facebook and Instagram at The Rock Family. Have a Jesus-filled week.